When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
It's a 2024 offseason, and we are here to talk Dolphins football. We'll be with you every week all through it up until the start of the regular season. We'll be discussing free agency, we'll be discussing the draft, and we'll have a good time. Hopefully you'll join us as we proceed through the offseason, and we've got a show today, so here we go. And it's another Fin Fans podcast. Tonight I'm here with Chris Rigoni.
How we doing, Fin Fans?
And Ian Berger.
Fin's up, everybody. Thanks for having me on tonight, guys.
You are most welcome. Thanks for coming on. We always look for people that know what they're talking about, and I do value you as one of those people.
I don't value myself as one of those people, so I appreciate that you guys do. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's happened the past couple of days, and you guys can comment on it as soon as I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Six-year starter Jerome Baker was released, saving the team from paying player's salary cap, of which roughly $10 million would have counted against the 2024 salary cap. This follows cornerback Xavien Howard and Keon Crossan, as well as defensive end Emmanuel Ogba. All these moves were pretty predictable with Miami so far over the cap this year. There are others like running back Jeff Wilson who may be expendable in the coming days. Should be noted the money Miami saved by waiving Howard doesn't become available until June 1st. Miami has room to add one more player, a 6-1 cut, but that may be unlikely to be used as they need to become cap compliant by the 13th. Even with these moves, they are still roughly $18 to $20 million over the cap, so expect the top-end players to again have their contracts restructured. The Dolphins will be hunting out bargains to fill the roster. One of those players was signed today, defensive tackle Isaiah Mack, who was with new defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver in 2021 and 2022 in Baltimore. Mack spent time with eight different teams since 2019 when he came into the league. Anything I'm missing, guys?
I think the only other thing that I saw today was we had a meeting with Jonnu Smith, the tight end.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I remember McDaniel saying that was the next step for the offense.
Yeah, I really like the guy. I mean, he's pretty versatile. He can block, and he can bust some big plays, too. We watched him even last year with Kyle Pitts on that team. I mean, I saw him make a lot of plays last year and was kind of more involved in that offense than Pitts was, which was kind of surprising.
Yep.
And I think you got all the news, and actually, I did not hear that about Jonnu Smith, so that's good to know and interesting to know, you know, especially seeing how the tight end position has evolved over the last two seasons under Mike McDaniel. I mean, we had, we had number 88, Mike Gesicki, for that first year, which you would have thought, all right, you know, he might utilize him with these other top-notch wide receivers.
Right.
But Mike kind of disappeared, you know, and I think that may have been by design. And then last year, you know, with Durham Smythe taking the lead role, it really felt like Durham was more of your blocking tight end. And he got a few passes, but nothing to compare to some of these other top tier tight ends. So I don't know where they're going to go, but I think the important thing that you already mentioned, Mike, was the value. You know, is there value? Do they have to pay him? You know, how much do they have to pay a Jonnu Smith to be able to come to the team? I know that's why they're meeting with him now. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yep. Well, it's certainly a need, right?
Yeah.
We really do need a receiving tight end, I believe. You know, if he can block too, great. But we need somebody who can catch the ball downfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure Smythe gives that to you.
Yeah, I think I've said it before. I think Smythe's better off as like a tight end too, you know?
Yes, exactly. That's what he should be. That's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's very good at it too,
yes,
by the
for
way.
Sure.
Like,
yes,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's just he's not getting 30 yards downfield, you know?
Exactly.
So let's talk some free agents. I mean, you know, with the Dolphins signing Mac today, I mean, I think that kind of tells you where their mindset should be. You know, they're looking for guys out there who maybe has some ability and just isn't getting an opportunity. The only thing that worries me with this guy is he spent time with 8 different teams, but, you know, Weaver knows him, so I'm sure he put in a good word for him.
And I think that, you know, that is whenever we see coaching changes with the Miami Dolphins, you always see the coaches bringing over their guys, right? Yeah. When you think back with Brian Flores,
sure.
He brought a couple guys over from New England. You know, when you saw Mike McDaniel come in, we saw Raheem Mostert, a couple other guys from San Francisco. So I think this is just one of his guys. But like you said, I don't know what we're going to get out of these guys, you know, because they weren't starting for their prior
right.
teams.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's where the concern lies. It's like, okay, you're replacing a top tier player with someone who hasn't gotten that much opportunity. Could they do great? Sure. But I think, you know, history shows they haven't been starting for a reason.
Right.
You know, you look back and I'm sure Adam Gase tried to get his players over, but they refused.
True. Yeah. No, it was Peyton Manning, right? Wasn't that one of his best, right? That's funny.
Anyway, so Chris, you had some free agents you were interested in. Why don't you start off with yours?
I got a whole bunch. So do you want to just do it by position group or?
Yeah, that would be the way to do it.
Okay. Well, let's start off with the defensive tackle since we were just talking about
Chris
that.
Chris Jones, right?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, if Wilkins doesn't come back, but no, I was thinking, I mean, if Wilkins does indeed walk, I think Leonard Williams would be a solid replacement. I mean, he can play inside and out. There's a couple other guys, Sheldon Rankins, DJ Reader, Daquan Jones. Another guy I really like is Javon Kinlaw, 26 years old. He played with San Francisco the last few years. He would be a decent signing. But there's a bunch of guys. I mean, looking at this list, I mean, I don't know how many of these guys still are in their prime, you know, but I mean, it's
well,
just...
Also, some of these guys will still be re-signed by their team. So, you know, there's always that possibility as well.
Yeah. And there's guys like Fletcher Cox that are out there, but I think they're just going to command a little bit more money than we have to spend. But I mean, the only positive side that comes out of possibly Wilkins walking is us being able to sign 3 or 4 players with that same amount of money. And we've kind of put ourselves in a hole to where, you know, that might have to be the option we take, as much as it would suck to see a guy like Wilkins walk, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the toughest part about seeing, or one of many reasons that it's tough to see Christian Wilkins walk, is that, you know, he's 28. You know, he's in the prime of his career right now, and he's going to get mm-hmm. paid, deservedly so, by the way. He deserves to get whatever money he's able to get on the free agent market.
And agreed.
If he ends up getting it with Miami, great. If it's someone else, that's great too. But, you know, you look at, you mentioned Leonard Williams, 30 years old. Fletcher Cox, 33 years old. Mm. You know, so everybody else who's on this top 10 free agent list is over 30. Calais Campbell's 38. until you get to like number 9 on the list, which is Tyre Tart out of Seattle. Mm. He's 27, you know? Mm-hmm. So we may end up picking up some free agents that are not considered to be top 10 on this list.
Household names, right.
Right. But again, there might be that opportunity if Coach Weaver is running a certain type of system and he feels that certain guys can really make that difference. I think, you know, we'll end up rooting for some guys that we've never heard of before or we haven't paid much attention to.
you lost Baker behind him, and you know, you lost Wilkins, and that kind of hits your defense a little bit.
Big time.
It's going to be interesting to see what they can pull in and be able to afford to pay.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I mean, since we also talked about Baker too, I think the number one guy I'd like to see come in to replace him would be Devin White. I'm not sure what he's going to command on the free agent market, but I really like him. And then Patrick Queen, who also played for our new defensive coordinator. Gosh,
I would think that's a possibility.
Yep. And if you can get, I mean, we pretty much saved $10 million by cutting Baker. So even if you can get a guy for $8 million like that, that would be solid.
The savings. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. I mean, Bobby Wagner's another guy. Bobby Wagner and Lavonte David are a little bit older, but they have still been playing at a very high level and maybe come a little bit cheaper at this point in their career, you know?
The thing about Queen, though, is he's 25, and that's going to cost you money.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you got to think, I mean, if we're losing Howard, if we're losing Baker, if we lose Wilkins, they're going to be able to kind of spend a little bit more on one guy, whether they were talking about Legarius Sneed from KC. But I think we'll make one or two splash moves, you know?
Probably. With Ross does like his splashes every now and then.
Exactly. I mean, there's one other guy that I got on my list that really impressed me last year was Drew Tranquil. He played on the Chargers a couple years ago, and then last year KC. And he was a big part of that defense.
And he's a younger guy too, so yep. He's, you know, definitely he's got the skill, he's got the age, and you know, I think one of the other concerns by a lot of people is as you start picking up some of these older guys, their tendencies to get injured becomes a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
And just because as you get older, your body starts, you know, acting up a little differently. As I'm approaching 50 now, I understand that all too well. But you know, that's why you're looking for some of the young guys. And I actually saw Patrick Queen. And I think that's been a big talk right now, especially with the fact that he's played with Coach Weaver before. He is such a young guy. I think the biggest question mark with him is, can you get consistency for three downs from him as a linebacker? But they're expecting he's going to get paid some good money. So if you're going to bring him in, it's going to have to probably be a multi-year deal because he's not going to accept it, probably a two-year, you know, maybe three-year deal. But I do agree with you that I think that there will be some splash name players that will help our defense. And I think too, maybe one on the offensive line as well, or we might build through the draft. I'm not sure on the offensive mm-hmm. line side yet.
That's what I think will probably happen. And if they go after the tight end, that's great.
Yep.
For sure.
What about a guy like Mika Hyde as safety?
Yeah. You know, so Mike, he's 33. He's, you know, he's played on our Nemesis's team, right? Mm-hmm. for many years, and they know him well, and he's still a very skilled player. So if we can get him at the right price, and they rank him as number 10 out of the available free agents, and if the Bills is he with New England or is he with the Bills right now?
The Bills.
He is. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
if he's still with the Bills, they may end up trying to lock him up for a little bit longer if they still value what, you know, what he's able to offer. But
yep.
You know, I'd probably be looking more on the cornerback side than on the safety side because I think the need is going to be greater on the cornerback. So if we're going to spend money,
I think you need both.
Yeah, but I don't disagree. But I think with the loss of Xavien, you know, that leaves you with...
Yeah, you need a starting corner.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. You know, and
maybe a slot corner.
I've heard the name Stephon Gilmore get thrown out there, but I almost feel like he's on the wrong side of his career.
I agree.
But there's still some young guys available too. Kendall Fuller, Kenny Moore, Steven Nelson. Again, all these guys are a little older. Christian Fulton's age 26. So... You know, if you're looking at somebody, again, one of those younger guys, he played with Seattle, so he's played with a really good defense in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Another safety that's available is Jordan Whitehead.
Yep, that's somebody who I had on my list. I mean, cornerback is definitely going to be a priority too, but with Brandon Jones and Elliott both being free agents, we're definitely going to have to sign one, if not a couple safeties.
Yep.
My priority would definitely be to bring DeShaun Elliott back. I don't think
that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, he played good last year, but I don't think he played himself into a huge contract. I mean, because of some of the injuries that he had throughout the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd like to see him back. Another interesting name would be Kevin Byard. The guy I believe the Eagles got from, was it Tennessee last year, about midway through the season. He was a pretty elite strong safety at one point. I know he's a little bit on the other side of his career. But, I mean, I think he can still be good. Jordan Whitehead's another name that you named. Jonathan Owens, who played for the Packers. He played pretty solid last year. And then the last name that's pretty interesting that he just got released today is Jamal Adams, the former Jet. And he's just
former
more...
Jet, former Seahawk as well, wasn't he with the Seahawks
exactly,
too?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, again, you get a guy that's been through a couple teams. He's and I think... the Dolphins are going to be forced to pick up guys like that. You know, that they were Pro Bowlers at one point in their career. Mm-hmm. They've switched through some other teams and they've traveled, you know, the circuit a little bit, but they need a home, and the Dolphins have holes that they're going to need to fill. So I think they're going to have to pick up guys like that.
For sure.
All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a step back for just a couple minutes and we'll be right back. I'm wondering where Emmanuel Ogba is going to end up.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, he's kind of been on the downfall the last few years. And I mean, speaking of that edge position, we're definitely going to need to sign at least one or two guys with both of our star edge rushers being out. I mean, I would say they're probably going to at least miss the first month of the season.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think my priority on that is to try to get Van Ginkel re-signed.
Yeah, I agree. I said that as well. But, you know, he's not a guy you can bank on, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not a strong pass rusher. I mean, he will get there, but, you know, he doesn't have a great move off the corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He gets his by effort.
Yeah, he does. Although he's got a really quick spin move. Like I think I was watching the highlights from the Washington game, and he was spinning and getting to that quarterback really, really quickly. But he's not going to do that consistently. You know, he'll do that once every couple of games.
Right.
But I think the only problem with Andrew is I think he's going to be commanding a lot more money because he had a really good season, especially statistically, number of sacks. Mm-hmm. You know, he did have that interception for a touchdown, it was interception for the touchdown against Washington. So I think he's going to be looking for a bigger paycheck, you know, because he's 29 years old and, you know, he had probably one of the best seasons of his career last year. So I think he's going to be looking around and knowing the family, you know, they like it in South Florida, and they've built their home in South Florida. They're building their family in South Florida, so I think they'd want to stay. But it's a business at the end of the day, as we're seeing with Christian Wilkins. It's all a business. Whoever's going to pay the most money, help them secure their future, that's where they're going to go.
Yep, and he's got a pretty good agent, too, in Rosenhaus. So oh, yeah. Rosenhaus is going to make sure he gets paid.
He's got half the Dolphins, that guy.
He does.
Yeah.
On purpose, I think every time he has a free agent coming open, he says, hey, guys, you need somebody? You need this position?
Mm-hmm. I think somebody that, if we do indeed let Van Ginkel walk, Jadeveon Clowney would be a possible replacement.
Sure.
He played under Anthony last year for Baltimore, and he had a pretty good season. I mean, and he had 10.
That would actually make a lot of sense he probably won't be that expensive.
Yep, and he had 10 sacks last year, so I mean, he definitely got the most out of him. So I mean, that would be a solid move. Derek Barnett's another name I have here. Leonard Floyd, who's played pretty good for the Bills the last couple years, and then Dante Fowler Jr. would be a cheaper option. He played with Dallas last year.
And let me ask you this name: do you guys remember a guy by the name of Channing Tindall?
Sure.
Do you think he's ever actually gonna make it on the starting lineup? Do you think he's ever gonna get to that point?
I don't know, but I do think that Weaver
Greer has a saying that he will.
that's true. Yeah.
We definitely got to see something out of that guy. I mean, I remember seeing him come out of college. I mean, he was part of a great defense on that Georgia team, but I mean, he was fast. He can hit. I mean, I'm not sure what's not translating till this next level, but we'll see if Weaver can get the most out of him, you know?
I mean, yeah, same thing. I mean, this will be the third defensive coordinator that he'll have.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So it's kind of now or never, right, for him.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Fangio was insistent that he was not professional.
So, yeah, yep.
You know, you hate to hear that, or, you know, a coordinator talk that way about anybody. So I don't know what it was he wasn't doing, but obviously he wasn't impressing him.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at our defensive line, we are in we're in a load of trouble at the moment, right? Yep. We got Christian, free agent. Raekwon Davis is a free agent. Jalen and Bradley are both injured, will at least be out probably the first month or so of the season. Then you still got Zach Sealer, so that's good, right? But then Andrew's a free agent, so we don't know what's going to happen to him. Melvin Ingram, who was also, you know, picked up late, he's also a free agent. And then Justin Houston and Bruce Irvin, who were both up, what, for the playoff game, I think, right? That was,
yep,
those were our emergency pickups at the end of the season. So you still have Cameron Good. I know he got injured and he was playing pretty strong there for a little bit when he was filling in, but
yeah, he's probably going to miss the first month of the season as well. That's why it's like
too.
That.
Yeah.
Yep, that edge position. I mean, there's another guy out there who would be kind of a wild card, Randy Gregory, who's kind of just been bouncing around a little bit. He was super talented coming out of college and then got into some legal troubles and stuff. But, I mean, those guys usually don't pan out too well in Miami, so maybe that's not a great option. But
defensive tackle Tierre Tart, do either one of you know why he was released from Tennessee?
No.
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Because this says, based off his tape, Tart's a monster who could be a steal in free agency. His midseason release from Tennessee won't help his market value, though, and I'm curious as to why he got released.
Yeah. Hmm.
Interesting.
Because he's their 92nd ranked player, you know, available player.
Okay.
That's definitely interesting.
Did I say he's 27? So that you know, you still got a few years out of him if he's got his head in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, yep. Those are going to be the guys that we have to pick up.
Yep, exactly. They're a little risky. Guys that are a little risky.
I feel a little bad for Anthony Weaver. You know, last season.
Yeah.
Last season, coach ended up getting a bunch of diamonds on the defensive side of the ball, you know, and they had how many Pro Bowlers on the defensive side of the ball?
Do you remember what he said?
Who, really? Vic?
Yeah.
What'd he say?
He said, we've still got some holes on this defense.
But that was really early on, though, too, right?
Yes,
that was really
exactly.
Early on this season.
That was early on.
Someone, one of my close friends who puts on a podcast, he said, you know, whenever you get a new defensive coordinator in, it usually takes about 4 to 6 games.
Yes.
For the team to really
said the same thing.
Pick everything up, and which made sense because actually after the 4th, 6th game of the season, the defense really started looking like something, right? But then everybody started dropping like flies
due
to injury.
Yep.
Exactly. And there's nothing you can do about that. Really,
no,
there's nothing.
A bunch of bad luck.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So now we get to do it all over again with Coach Weaver. But it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, what he's about, what his philosophy is going to look like on the field. You know, how he's going to – is he going to be a little more blitz heavy than we saw with Fangio? It's so interesting because I think Fangio was the opposite of our prior defensive coordinator when it comes to blitzing. And it worked when everybody was healthy. But once everybody started falling out, they couldn't keep up. They had to blitz. And at that point, you just couldn't go man-to-man on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We had problems everywhere.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah. It was the best of times and the worst of times, gentlemen. That's what I say about last year.
Man, if that ain't the truth.
Yep.
that sums it up.
Yeah.
Give me one free agent you would love for them to sign, knowing our financial situation.
You got to look in the bargain basement. Yeah, now you got to add that.
Mm, that's no fun, Mike.
I know. That's what Greer's saying right now.
I'll go with Leonard Williams if you can afford him, if it makes sense. You know, he's still younger. He's very, very talented. He could fill that hole pretty quickly that Christian Wilkins is going to leave open. And then you don't really have to worry a whole heck of a lot about that defensive line, especially the middle part of the defensive line. The edges you still got to worry about, but at least that middle part can be taken care of. That's who I would say, if we could do it.
For sure. I got two guys on the defensive side. I'll go Devin White. I talked about him a little bit earlier. I mean, I really – him and Lavonte David are such a good duo, but Devin White can do a lot. And I think he'd be perfect in this defense. Offense, I've already said it a few times. I'll say Derrick Henry. I don't know how much money he's going to command. He already said he wants to play for a winning team, a contender. So I would think him knowing that, how the market is right now, he knows that he may have to take a little pay cut. And if we can get him somewhere in the $6 million range, I think he's absolutely worth it. And he'll add a dynamic to our offense that we desperately need and could really help balance it out, you know.
I'll tell you why I disagree with you.
Okay.
He ain't got nobody to block for him.
Yeah, but we didn't have anybody last year to block, right? I mean, think of how you had to
Think we're worse this year, right?
For sure.
Depending on what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there is a high possibility that Hunt walks, but if we can somehow re-sign Hunt, and I keep saying it too, the Jackson Powers Johnson is the guy that I think we can address a few positions in the draft. I mean, this is supposed to be a really deep draft with offensive linemen, and I know that's kind of risky betting on younger guys, but I mean, so far we have Armstead for the most part should be coming back. I know he's said that, and then conflicting reports have came out, but if we can get Armstead back, we got Jackson on the outside, and then, you know, we sign Hunt and then draft this center, then our offensive line's looking pretty good without having to do too much.
I'll be honest, and to piggyback on that, so I've gone back and forth, Derrick Henry. If we can get him at $6 million, I'd be floored at that. I think that's a great price for him, because here's the thing, too. You don't need him to be an every down back.
Exactly.
I love what Devon Achane brings, and Raheem Mostert is still going to be there, even though, you know, he's had some injury challenges throughout his career, including the last couple seasons. You know, he's missed at least one game. I think where Derrick Henry can benefit us is in those third and short and fourth and short downs, because let's face it, we lose games because we can't keep drives going, especially against those tougher opponents.
Absolutely. And
back in the day, I was joking with my wife the other day that, you know, back in the day, we were sitting in the stands, it was third and one, and we had a running back, and of course, his name was on the tip of my tongue, and and now he's gone. Well, anyway, you automatically gave it to him. Lusaka Polite, that's who it was.
Oh, yeah.
Lusaka Polite. If it was third and one, third and two, you give it to him, you knew that he was going to run straight up the middle, and he was going to pick up the first down. I think he had like an 80% first down ratio.
It was uncanny how good he was at that.
Exactly. And that's what we are missing. Mm-hmm. You know, and part of it, I think, is play calling. The other part is that we just don't have that running back that can run through a line when they need those additional yards.
Yep. Just to piggyback again off what you just said.
Can I piggyback first?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Because there was something I wanted to say before and I didn't get the opportunity. I think one thing we need to keep in mind, a lot of people are looking at what's happening and they're getting upset. And I think you have to take things in the right context. Yeah, it sucks to lose these players. There's no doubt about that. But they're not necessarily lost yet. There's a good possibility that Miami is keeping in touch with Rosenhaus. And if they don't get an offer that they like, you know, to leave, they may stay.
It's true.
So I wouldn't necessarily assume that they're all gone. Because they may or may not be.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is if they do end up leaving, you know, it's probably, from a financial situation, the right move for the Dolphins. And it's a better move for the player, you know? Yeah. And, I mean, I wish we could keep players for 20 or 30 years. It just, they don't make them that way anymore. So and the game is not played that way anymore. So you can't, you know? So you just need to find
the
replacements. CBA
took care of that, you know.
Exactly.
Because it used to be, you know, you drafted the guy, you had him as long as you wanted him.
Correct. Yes.
All right, guys, we're going to break for a few moments and we'll be right back.
I was going to say, too, going back to the running back room, they're talking about us potentially cutting Jeff Wilson, and If you do that, I think we definitely need to add another back. I said this before. I mean, even if you went into next season with Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and Achane, or Achane, I'm not very confident in that because they're all three guys. Well, I can't really say so much about Achane because he's only been in the league for a year. But being a smaller guy, you know, there's higher risk of him getting hurt.
He's not a full-time starter. He's exactly a guy you pick and choose, you know, when you're going to use him.
Exactly. Absolutely. And, you know, you use him like a thunder and lightning type of situation. Yep. And I think him and Derrick Henry would complement each other perfect. But I understand the cap situation we're in. So a couple other guys that could fit that same kind of role that would come a lot cheaper, Gus Edwards.
The reason I like the idea of Henry, as opposed to the reason I gave you that I didn't like it, the reason I like it is because right now we are predominantly a passing team. And so what happens, right? They're all trying to take away the middle of the field.
That's so true.
You got Henry in that backfield. They can't keep eight men in the box. They've got to drop that safety out, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Because of the wide receivers. So he's going to be running into light boxes. And that's, you know, that's a big advantage to Henry.
Oh, yeah. He's never played with guys that have the skill sets that Waddle and a Tyreek Hill have. So, I mean, that would be definitely my first option. But there are some other options out there. I mean, Gus Edwards had a really good year with Baltimore last year. I mean, he was the king of within the five rushing it in for a touchdown. I had him on a couple of my fantasy teams. And he's just great with that, for sure. And, I mean, there's another guy, Zeke, who a lot of people are down on. But I think given the circumstances that he had last year in New England, played pretty good. He's another guy who you can bring him in those short yardage situations.
Correct.
And I still like him. I think he's still got some stuff in the tank. I mean, he's not the same running back that he was for Dallas, but I think he's still got some stuff left. And then another interesting name who got released recently was A.J. Dillon from the Green Bay Packers.
Sure.
And he's a big guy who is good in those short yardage, and he can catch the ball.
How old is he now?
A.J. Dillon's got to be maybe 26. I mean, he can't be that old.
Yeah, if he's 26, that's worth considering.
Yeah, he's somewhere in that.
Josh Jacobs, also 26.
Yep.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that I have on my list, but he's going to be more in the Derrick Henry range. And if we're going to spend that much, I think Henry's the better option.
Agreed.
But Jacobs is definitely a great running back as well.
We'll have to see what they're thinking.
A.J. Dillon, yep. He's 25. He's turning 26 in, I think, 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
So, I mean, still a younger guy and kind of fits what we need to add to our running back room. Definitely some physicality.
I was looking at Kevin Dotson, who's an offensive guard. And then I start reading the summary on him and it says, Dotson got a lot of credit for helping to turn around the Rams' offensive line, and they'd love to keep him. Few players earned more money with a career rebound last year.
Mm. So, yeah, I saw his name on one of the higher.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Anything else you guys want to add as far as these free agents are concerned?
We're just going to have a lot of them. That's all I'm going to add.
For sure. I think the wide receiver room is definitely worth mentioning, given the fact that Braxton is a free agent, Craycraft is a free agent, Claypool is a free agent. So I think the only guys we have right now are Waddle, Tyreek, obviously, and then Uzukama.
Yep.
So, I mean, a couple guys that I have, Curtis Samuel has been pretty solid the last few years. I mean, they've been lining him up in the backfield in the slot. I mean, he can do a couple different things. I know McDaniel loves guys like that. KJ Osborne from Minnesota, another pretty good younger receiver.
All these guys are fast. You know how Mike McDaniel loves his fast wide receivers.
For
Those
sure.
Are really fast.
I was trying to look for the bigger build because I think that's what we are missing.
Yes.
But there's just not a lot of guys out there right now. I mean, I think I saw one. What was his name? DJ Chalk, who had a pretty promising career to start off with, but kind of has fallen off.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd's out there, who's a bigger receiver, but I think he's going to command a little bit more money than we're going to be willing to spend.
Sure.
But, I mean, We'll see. I mean, a couple guys that I have too that are wide receivers that would be great return specialists, upgrades over Berrios, in my opinion, is Rashid Shaheed, who's actually played quite a bit of offense too for New Orleans. He's been really good. And then Devin Duvernay for the Ravens, who same has been more of a returner, but he can play some offense as well.
Nice. I like those names. And I think too, you know, one thing is it would not shock me if we got some wide receiver help in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
That would be my thought.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting because somebody asked me if I would be upset if we ended up with a wide receiver in the first round. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, we have a lot of needs. But depending on the wide receiver, it might not bother me all that much. It all depends on the player. Because again, too, you know, you're going to get an inexpensive player for the next 3 to 4 years. Somebody who can, who you expect to be an impact player right off the bat, you know, in the first round. And sometimes, you know, like if you get a tight end out of the first round, sometimes they don't start right away or they're not as effective the first season that
usually
they're
takes the NFL.
Exactly.
Yep.
But a wide receiver, they can start hitting the ground running right away.
If they're smart enough to learn the playbook.
Correct. Correct. That's the GM's job, right? Got to find these guys who are going to be smart, who are going to do their homework and are going to be ready for the season.
Yeah, and this is supposed to be a pretty deep draft as far as wide receivers. I think somebody said the other day that they had 25 receivers projecting to go in the first four rounds. So
wow,
I mean that's
significant.
Yep, I mean I'm just more interested to see what type of receiver McDaniel would take. I mean the first round, I think I wouldn't really agree with that. But at the same time, if they got just a ridiculous talent at that point that they couldn't pass up, I mean, I guess I understand it, but I think going into this year, we're going to have to rely a little bit more on this offense, especially if Tua gets this contract. I mean, we got a lot of money into this offense.
Be a lot of money.
And it's, you know, we have the guys who should be able to carry us in these games that just were not able to carry us last year. So, I mean, I think we're going to have to rely heavier on that offense, and that's why maybe you make a move like go and get Derrick Henry and just, you know, go all out, you know.
Just a refresher, in this coming draft, you know, barring any trades, we've got a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a fifth-round pick, 2 sixes, and a seven.
Okay, so it was a third, not a second, that we got taken for the tampering?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
And
oh, okay. I feel better about that.
Coming up a fourth, so, you know, second and then fifth.
Man, I'm ready for that to be behind us.
Yep, me too. Me too. So, it was costly. I mean, you know, I'm sure they didn't get caught on purpose, but, you know. Sean Payton, really?
Yeah. It's kind of BS, man. It really is. I feel like it goes on so much throughout the league. Like,
it does.
We either have to be really stupid to get caught or, like, sometimes I feel this way that, like, the NFL has something against us. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know, you know, if there's politics with Ross and Goodell or whatever the case may be. But I thought that was pretty ridiculous for them to take that many picks from us for something that I believe every team really does in the offseason.
I do, know? Too. But I just think they're smart enough too. To keep it quiet.
Exactly. Yep.
It's not what you're doing. It's how you go about doing it, if that
That's
makes
correct.
Any sense.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there was plenty of talking about free agents at the festivities this past weekend.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. I think we'll call it a show.
All right.
I appreciate y'all having me jump on here tonight and talk about free agents. I think things are going to look very different in the next couple of weeks for the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. It's going to be very interesting to see how Greer goes about reconstructing this football team.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very interesting. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they make a big splash somewhere, because that's what they like to do. But they're going to have to be frugal in a lot of areas. So, well, you know, it's going to be interesting. So
I'm going to ask you one last question before we go, Mike. What if they don't make a splash? And all these guys are your B and your C players. How do you think Dolphins fans are going to react to that?
I think they'll feel a little dejected, but I know people are already hemorrhaging, you know. But
yeah.
I just think people have to be patient. You know, you can't judge a painting before it's done. And there's a lot of people judging the painting right now, and they don't like what they're seeing.
Absolutely. Yep.
you know, it is what it is. You know, I get it. I'm not necessarily thrilled either. I hate to see a guy like Wilkins go. He's exactly what you want in a football player.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But yep. It is what it is. You know, you knew when you were signing Ramsey and you were signing Chubb and you were throwing the moon at Hill, you know, you knew this was the position you were going to put yourself in.
Yep.
They didn't do it blindly. They knew it. You know, we'll see what they have in mind. They must have something in mind or they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I hope so. Hopefully they have a big plan and we can't see it yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's a good plan, but I'm sure there's a plan.
It's a plan. Hopefully. Yep. Hopefully they have a plan. That's great.
All right, guys. I appreciate you joining me and thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week to talk some more Dolphins.
Until fins up, then, everybody.
Fins up.
Fins up.
All right, Fin fans, that's today's show. I want to thank the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Sports Social podcast network. Check out these sites, guys. They've got articles and podcasts, which I think you'll enjoy. All right, until next week, be well and take care.
Network.